This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Jeb, keep it short. Don't drag this out. People have already heard enough remarks already. And most of all, don't get weepy.
Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush honors his mother, former First Lady Barbara Bush, at her funeral.
We want to thank the thousands and thousands of expressions of condolence and love for our precious mother.
The backers of Marcy's Law are confident voters will understand the language on November's ballot.
I think we've accomplished that. We hired some excellent lawyers from both sides of the political spectrum, as well as a former judge, to really help us craft these.
That's Tim Cirio with Florida's Constitution Revision Commission. Plus, this week, we'll look at students who are once again hoping to make a change from gun control issues to climate change.
For our generation, we're already seeing these devastating effects, you know, amongst, you know, for me and all my co-plaintiffs, and we know that the worst is yet to come.
All that and more coming up on episode 146 of The Rotunda. Welcome to the program. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush gave a touching eulogy at the funeral for his mother, former First Lady Barbara Bush, on Saturday in Houston.
You see, our mom, our first and most important teacher. Sit up, look people in the eye, please say please and thank you, do your homework, quit whining and stop complaining, eat your broccoli. Yes, Dad, she said that. The little things we learned became habits, and they led to bigger things like be kind, always tell the truth, never disparage anyone, serve others, treat everyone as you would want to be treated, and love your God with your heart and soul. What a blessing to have a teacher like that 24/7. Now, to be clear, her students weren't perfect. That's an understatement. Mom got us through our difficult times with consistent, take it to the bank, unconditional, but tough love. She called her style a benevolent dictatorship, but honestly, it wasn't always benevolent.
It was laughter and tears, and Jeb Bush even read a love letter his father, George W. Bush, had written to his mother over 30 years ago.
Their love was a constant in our lives. My dad is a phenomenal letter writer, and he would write Mom on their wedding anniversaries, which totaled an amazing 73 years. Here's one of them written on January 6, 1994. Will you marry me? Oops, I forgot we did that 49 years ago. I was very happy on that day in 1945, but I'm even happier today. You have given me joy that few men know. You have made our boys into men by bawling them out and then, right away, by loving them. You've helped Darrell be the sweetest, greatest daughter in the whole wide world. I have climbed perhaps the highest mountain in the world, but even that cannot hold a candle to being Barbara's husband. Mom used to tell me, now George, don't walk ahead. Little did she know I was only trying to keep up with Barbara Pierce from Rye, New York. I love you.
The couple shared sons George W. Bush, Jeb, Neil, Marvin, and daughters Dorothy and Robin, who died after a battle with leukemia in 1953. Four presidents came together to attend the funeral, Jeb's brother George H.W., Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. The White House released a statement saying President Trump didn't attend in order to avoid disruptions due to added security and out of respect for the Bush family and friends. This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. Find us at rotundapodcast.com. Florida's Constitution Revision Commission has placed 8 proposed constitutional amendments on the November 6th general election ballot. They will join 5 others placed on the ballot by the legislature or citizens' initiatives. But here's the problem. Many of these proposals are bundled together. Yes, it's like BOGO deals when it comes to amending Florida's Constitution. For instance, voters will decide on a plan to ban offshore drilling while outlawing electronic vaping in public places. This falls under Amendment 9. State university fees and governance issues are tied to death benefits for some military and first responders under Amendment 7. Charter school oversight are surprisingly not with university issues, but goes with term limits for school board and charter school oversight. That's Amendment 8. And victims' rights into mandatory retirement age for judges in Amendment 6. So there's a lot going on that could potentially be very confusing to voters come November. The multiple subjects covered by 6 of the amendments has many groups outraged. But Tim Cirio, a commissioner on the Florida Constitution Revision Commission, is confident voters will be just fine.
Folks who don't like the particular bundling, you know, may be unhappy. Most of our commissioners realize, and I hope the public understands, that combining these different amendments into particular proposals, that was done by us. It was done by the Constitution Revision Commission 20 years ago. It was done by the Constitution Revision Commission 40 years ago. 50 years ago, when we had a new constitution, that entire constitution was rolled out to the voters, and I believe 3 extremely long proposals. So the idea of combining these concepts is not new. And unfortunately, I think some people, you could read some of the coverage and even some of the statements of commissioners who are not happy with the process and think that this was some new procedural device that the CRC used this year that had never been done before. And that's just not the case.
Commissioner Tim Cirio, despite it not being a new process and that this has been done before, what about voters this time around and them being able to understand what they're about to vote on?
That's an excellent point, and that's the key point. The bundling and the combining of these different concepts only works if the ballot summary language that the voters will read is clear and understandable and not misleading and not confusing. And I think we've accomplished that. We hired some excellent lawyers from both sides of the political spectrum, as well as a former judge, to really help us craft this language. All 3 of them were in agreement with what we adopted. And I think most of the commissioners, with maybe one exception, I think most of the commissioners on most of these votes felt like, you know, they may not have liked the bundling for political reasons. Maybe they wanted to vote for one issue and not the other. And by combining them, it made it difficult. I think for the most part, everyone agrees that the ballot summary language that we are presenting to the voters is clear and concise and not confusing or misleading. So we're pretty happy about that.
Commissioner Cirio is the man behind Marcy's Law, successfully making it on the ballot. What is Marcy's Law all about?
So what Marcy's Law does is it enshrines in the Constitution some very specific rights, so that if the more specific it is, the more easy it is, we believe, to enforce. So for instance, when a crime is committed, a victim, and victim is defined in Marcy's Law, is entitled to know and be provided with information by either law enforcement or perhaps the state attorney's office. These are your rights. You have a right to be notified of hearings. You have a right to participate and be heard at certain key points in a trial, whether it's at a bail hearing or a sentencing or a parole hearing. You have a right to be free from harassment by defendants during a particular during the court proceedings. And the most important thing, I would say, is that there is a remedy provided to enforce these rights. So if again, even though it's in Marcy's Law, assuming Marcy's Law is adopted, you would have an ability to go to court to seek enforcement of Marcy's Law if you are not providing with the rights that you're entitled to. You could go before a judge and say, "Judge, I'm not getting notice of hearings," or, "Judge, I wasn't consulted before a plea agreement was accepted." And and I think there's a tremendous incentive for the law enforcement community and for our state attorneys to make sure that they do pay attention to Marcy's Law. Otherwise, you know, process may have to slow down, hearings may have to be reheld. And I think that will go a long way toward making it's almost like self-enforcement at that point.
Well, some have criticized Marcy's Law as a waste of time and that it could do more harm than good. I think one person described it as a solution in search of a problem.
I would respectfully disagree. I think we heard the Constitution Revision Commission, we went on the road and we heard time after time, story after story of victims who were not notified of their rights. They were not notified about certain key hearings that were being held, you know, even when they've had loved ones who've been, who had been killed, and they weren't getting notification of hearings. We heard instances where restitution was not being paid, even though it had been court ordered. And that has been what some of the opponents of Marcy's Law, particularly the defense bar community, have said is, oh, there's really no problem here. Many of these rights are in statute. Well, that is the whole problem. The statutes are not being enforced, and we had to raise this to a constitutional level.
Commissioner Tim Cirio, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I would like to thank you for paying attention to this issue, and I would just encourage your followers, to the folks that are listening or reading, to basically, you know, take the time and take a look at these proposals that the CRC has put on the ballot, as well as the other five that are being placed on the ballot through citizen initiative or through a joint resolution of the legislature, and study them and just, you know, vote their conscience. That's the bottom line in this whole process, is that the voters are going to make the right decision. And some of these proposals will pass. I certainly hope Marcy's Law will pass. Some may not, but at the end of the day, it's in the voters' hands, and that's what's most important.
Well, Tim Cirio with the Florida Constitution Revision Commission, thanks for stopping by. Each proposal needs 60% voter support to pass this November. This is The Rotunda. I'm Tramell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com. Follow us on social media and take a moment to show your support by donating to this program. Pause. Pause this program right now. Open your browser and visit rotundapodcast.com. See the donate button top right. Click on it and bam. Thanks for your support. All right, remember those students, passionate students from Parkland High School, coming to Tallahassee fighting for gun control. Now there are 8 young Floridians suing Governor Rick Scott and Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam as they are trying to ride the wave of youth activism with multiple press conferences focused on the environment. The students are suing the state for what they say is a violation of their constitutional rights to a healthy climate. Along with the post-Parkland gun debate, this is the second case this year in which a group of students is lobbying the government for change. Oscar Sykes is a 20-year-old college freshman and one of the plaintiffs in the case. He says he's confident movements like his are making a difference.
I think that this case has every, you know, reason that it could win, and I'm really excited about that because, you know, young people are starting to hold their governments accountable, and that's just really exciting.
The lawsuit is supported by Our Children's Trust, a national organization focused on protecting the environment for future generations.
Climate change can seem like such an abstract issue, and that's one reason maybe why our politicians are so actively contributing to the climate crisis by, you know, permitting fossil fuels and try to stop the free market renewable energy. But for our generation, we're already seeing these devastating effects, you know, amongst, for, you know, for me and all my co-plaintiffs. And we know that the worst is yet to come, that literally within his own lifetime, Levy Dunham, his house is projected to be underwater. That so much of Florida is the state with the most to lose in climate change in so many ways. And it's really just leaving behind, I think, a Florida that is just much less happy place to live in, and just diminished and more dangerous than, you know, for the future generation. And I think young people are really starting to, and it's really exciting to see that we are starting to really speak up and organize and hold our governments accountable. But we're doing it, you know, we're doing it through the legal process. We're really doing it in a way that we're trying to make sure that we're not really demanding anything more than our basic constitutional rights to be respected.
But despite Sykes' optimism, supervisors of elections in 6 of the state's 7 major counties have reported seeing a drop in youth voter registration compared to the same time in 2014. According to the United States Elections Project at the University of Florida, as many as two-thirds of voters in the age group are forecast to sit out the midterm elections. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program. Special thanks to our amazing intern, Logan Tafe, and our wonderful guests. And please be sure to join us next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramell Gomes.